She's cheer ball.
This is Hamilton's home for alternative. You're listening to Indy 101.5 CIOI.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again. Of course, this is Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show on Indy 101.5.
Good day. Thanks for being here.
And off the top, of course, everybody knows that song. Missouri Lou, Dick Taylor and the Deltones as the opening theme from Pulp Fiction.
Which our topic this evening, our topic for today, is going to be Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yes. So, Mr. Tarantino, born in Knoxville, Tennessee, he... professionally, his big job before he became a filmmaker was as a video store clerk.
All right.
And he gave him
something he and I had in common then.
There you go. So
I bet you he didn't work at Jumbo Video, though.
No, I don't know if it was Blockbuster or not, but it was something back in the day. And, he sold his first script for of True Romance, and we've got a song from that coming up. And then that funded his creation of Reservoir Dogs.
Right. But didn't, didn't Reservoir Dogs come out before True Romance?
No.
Oh, okay. I've got my facts wrong then. Which, again, I'll just preface that anything you hear that I say on the radio may or may not be true.
No, hang on. You are right. He sold it in 1992. Reservoir Dogs came out in 1992. But he sold the script from True Romance from before that.
Right.
That came out in 93.
Right. So, all right. So, speaking of Reservoir Dogs, we're going to kick things off. There's a lot of music we're going to get through today. So, I don't know if we're going to...
We're going to talk a little bit and play a lot of really cool tunes.
Yeah, talk less and play music more, which I'm sure our listener will be thankful for.
So, this first one, if you've seen a wedding video in the last 20 years, you've heard this song played over top of the slow-mo shot of the groomsmen all walking toward the camera. And, yep. Of course, this is George Baker's selection, Little Green Bag. On Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show, Indy 101.5.
Some moments outside in the night, outside of man. Give it here. Come on.
Yeah, Joe Tex on Mark and Simon soundtrack show. That was I Gotcha from the Reservoir Dogs soundtrack.
Yeah, right on. And so we're going to move things right along. It is Quentin Tarantino night here on Mark and Simon soundtrack show. So we're going to be playing mostly movies directed by Quentin Tarantino. I think this is going to be our attempt at a monthly
director's
spotlight, yeah. I guess. Obviously, directors don't just start off as directors. They usually do other things, too. For instance, writing. So the next movie we're going to play music from is the aforementioned True Romance that came out in 1993. It starred Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette. It was directed by Tony Scott, but it was written by Quentin Tarantino.
You know what else he did, another writing gig he had? He was hired to punch up the script for Crimson Tide.
Oh, yeah. That's a blast from the past. I can't remember when I saw that movie.
It's been a while, but there's one section of dialogue which was pure him, because they were talking about comic books and which version of the Silver Surfer was the right one.
Ah.
And, of course, Tarantino, I guess, had an opinion on that, which I thought was pretty cool.
It was probably the right opinion in this case,
more than likely.
Anyway, all right, well, maybe I'll have to go check that out. Crimson Tide, that was Denzel Washington was in
that,
right?
Gene Hackman.
Yeah. I remember it's one of those weird things that came out at the same time as Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Like two submarine movies coming out at the same time. And then a couple of years later, it was Impact and Armageddon came out at the same time.
Yeah.
Which are basically both meteoroid destroying the world movies. Like
Deep Impact. I always thought
Deep Impact.
Thought it was a porno movie.
It probably is. However, there's violence and nudity in True Romance, but it's not a porn. So from the 1993 True Romance, we're going to play some Soundgarden, Outshined.
On Mark and Simon Soundtrack Show, Indy 101.5.
Keep the movie rolling.
that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They furnished off an apartment with a two-room robot sale. The coolerator was crammed with TV dinners and ginger ale. But when Pierre found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. The tempo of the music fell. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They bought a souped up chitney, was a cherry red 53, and drove it down to Orleans to celebrate the anniversary. It was there where Pierre was wedded to the lovely mademoiselle. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. Truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, c'est the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.
Yeah.
What are the great musical screams?
Excellent. Yes. Great tune.
Well, Cool and the Gang.
Great movie.
Yes. Cool and the Gang, Jungle Boogie. And before that, we heard Chuck Berry, You Never Can Tell, both, of course, from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And that movie was just, I mean, that blew up Quentin Tarantino's career huge. Even, I mean, he was pretty big before that because of Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
But Pulp Fiction was just massive. I mean, it's quotable. It's cultural touchstone for sure. All right.
Part of the zeitgeist, to be certain.
Yeah. So we're going to move on with so Pulp Fiction came out in 94. So it came out right after True Romance, and True Romance came out right after Reservoir Dogs. He kind of had a role going there. I don't think there was anything else. I think he kind of rode the Pulp Fiction train until 97 when he came out with the movie Jackie Brown. I haven't seen that one.
Jackie Brown is really darn cool. And then it's got everybody in it. Robert De Niro's in it. Michael Keaton's in it. Pam Grier.
Yes.
They talked a lot about Pam Grier in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool that she's in the movie. Yeah.
So it's a fun movie.
So that one came out in 97. We're going to play a song called Midnight Confessions. It's by The Grassroots. And the Grassroots is really interesting to me because Creed Bratton, who is the actor who played Creed Bratton in The Office, is actually a member of The Grassroots. So
That's funny,
it's hilarious. So he's a big time guitar player and singer. He was in The Grassroots, and then I guess he wasn't doing anything, and so he started background acting, and then he was in the background as an actor of The Office in the pilot, and eventually made his way onto being a regular character in The Office, which is kind of his character is so like that he just kind of ends up in things. So I'm not sure where Creed Bratton, the musician and actor, and Creed Bratton, the character in The Office, I think there's a very large overlap between the two. There is a separation, but I'm not sure where that is.
Right.
But anyway, that's my trivia for this one. Creed Bratton from The Office is the guitar player, and I'm not sure if he's the singer on this track, but he's the guitar player for The Grassroots.
Which will now play on Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show on Indie 101.5.
Cause
go. The Grassroots Midnight Confession from...
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown.
And this is our Quentin Tarantino evening of music. Music from Quentin Tarantino movies, anyway. And we're going to move on with another, I think, probably one of, I think, one of Mark's favorites, one of my favorite Tarantino movies.
I was always such a big Kung Fu fan, so seeing... David Carradine in a Quentin Tarantino
right.
movie.
So we're talking about Kill Bill, by the way. Was David Carradine even in Volume 1? Was he in the first half? He didn't show up till the second movie, did he? Or the very end?
He was in there.
Yeah. So I thought Kill Bill... Well,
the final confrontation didn't happen until the second
right.
movie.
But I mean... What a crazy! It's not like Kill Bill 1 and then Kill Bill 2 is a sequel. They're like the same movie. They just came out in two parts.
He just couldn't rationalize doing a 6-hour movie.
Yeah, yeah. Back then, movies were still only 90 minutes. Now we got 3-hour epic movies. Probably could have got away with it, but I think it's cool. But I can't imagine. I saw it on when it was out on streaming or DVD or something.
Right.
I can't imagine having to wait a whole year to get the second half of the movie, essentially, right? That would have been a drag. You would have forgotten what happened, because I don't think it's not like... So what was it? It was a 90... Oh, it was 2003, so streaming wasn't really happening quite yet.
Not yet. Netflix still would have been, they'll mail you the DVD.
Yeah, so I don't imagine... I could be wrong. I don't imagine it came... I don't imagine Volume 1 came out on DVD until after Volume 2 came out. Because usually it was about a year. So it's not like you could go watch the DVD and remember what happened and then go to the theater to see Volume 2. Maybe.
I saw it in the theater. I don't remember how it played out, though.
Yeah. Crazy. It's just a different time, I guess.
That's true.
And even though it wasn't that long ago, really. All right, so...
just means we're old.
That's a given. So from Kill Bill Volume 1, we're going to hear...
Nancy Sinatra.
Bang, bang.
On Mark and Simon's Soundtrack Show, Indy 101.5.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down. Seasons came and changed the time. When I grew up, I called him mine. He would always laugh and say, "Remember when we used to play?" Bang, bang, I shot you down. Bang, bang, you hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, I used to shoot you down. Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang. Till this day, sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye. He didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
The best. best alternative rock on the best station in the world. Well, you get the picture. This is Indie 101.5.
How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I could do things my way? But little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in ten with a satisfied mind. Once I was winning in fortune and fame, everything that I dreamed for to get a start in life's game. Then suddenly it happened, I lost every dime. But I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. Money can't buy back your youth when you're old, or a friend when you're lonely, or a love that's grown cold. The wealthiest person is a pauper at times, compared to the man with a satisfied mind. When life has ended and my time has run out, my friends and my loved ones will leave, there's no doubt. But there's one thing for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I could do things my way? But little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in ten with a satisfied mind.
Oh yeah, a little Johnny Cash there.
The Man in Black himself from Kill Bill Volume 2. And we didn't mention that Uma Thurman was the star of Kill Bill, both volumes.
Yeah, co-writer of the films as well.
Another Tarantino movie that, you know, kind of made it into the zeitgeist for sure. Like, you know, you've kind of embedded yourself in society when there's a SpongeBob episode and Sandy, the underwater squirrel, is dressed like one of your characters. Because there's a whole SpongeBob episode where Sandy learns kung fu and she wears the yellow tracksuit with the black stripe down the side.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Pat Morita is in that episode too.
Even better.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on with some more Quentin Tarantino movies. We're going to play from 2009, Inglourious Basterds.
This was a great movie.
I enjoyed it.
My favorite part of the whole thing was the twist at the end, because we all think we know how World War II ended. Evidently, we have changed along the way.
Well, Paul McCartney supposedly died and they replaced him. Maybe Hitler died and they replaced him.
I wouldn't put anything past him.
He had lookalikes, we know for sure. But I want to mention, so we're going to play the song Slaughter by Billy Preston. Just a reminder to anybody who happens to listen to us more than once, which I'm assuming there are people that way, but you know, you never know.
Well, thank you, both of you, by the way. We appreciate
thanks for
that.
Both of you. Maybe four or five even by now, if we're lucky. Anyway.
If they're in the same car.
A few weeks ago, we were talking about the Beatles show Get Back, that just came out, and we were talking about Billy Preston's contribution to the album Let It Be. So this song Slaughter is by Billy Preston. It's one of his own solo outings here.
And of course, it's the Soundtrack Show on Indie 101.5.
so green. I can stare for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long. Feel my blood enraged. It's just the fear of losing you. Don't you know my name? Well, you've been so long, and I've been putting out fire with gasoline.
David Bowie, Cat People, Putting Out the Fire with Gasoline, and that was from Cat People, of course, and, well, we're doing it as part of our Quentin Tarantino episode.
Yeah, I like to call that one a twofer, because it's from Inglourious Bastards.
Which is a fine film, but did not have Natasha Kinski running around naked all the time.
No, well, you can't have everything in a film.
I suppose that's true.
But so it was from Inglourious, it was used in Inglourious Basterds from the 1982 version of the movie Cat People. And I say the 1982 version because there's actually several versions. There's a 1942 version. And then I think there's a couple other ones since then, including even a 2019 version, which I've not seen any of them, so I couldn't tell you if they're any good or not.
I only saw the one in the 80s. I was as an impressionable 12-year-old, I was a big fan.
Yes. Did you see it on late grade movies or something?
It was on the movie channel back in the day.
Yeah, you guys, we all were jealous of you back in the day because you were like the only one I knew that had that channel. Anyway, so moving on from Inglourious Basterds, we're going to go to Django Unchained from 2012, which starred
Jamie Foxx
and Leonardo DiCaprio. No.
Yeah, he was in
Yes.
It.
Yes. That meme that is everywhere of him looking smarmy, that's from that movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a I mean, it's not a it's a fairly sort of famous story of
Christoph Waltz is in it too.
Yeah, well, he's like one of Tarantino's favorites now, right?
After he goes
backwards. Well, he's everybody's favorite really, but so I guess there's a scene in Django Unchained where like Leonardo DiCaprio's character is like pounding he's supposed to set his glass down forcefully, and he actually broke the glass and started bleeding, and that wasn't in the script, but that's what ended up in the movie. So when you see that movie and you see DiCaprio's hand bleeding, that's real blood.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cheap, very cheap special effect.
Yeah. So, so he bled for his craft, that man. Anyway, so we're going to play some, this track is called Unchained, and in brackets, Payback/Untouchable. And it's an unlikely pairing of James Brown and Tupac.
Cool. So it's not the Van Halen song. Got it.
No.
All right. So Unchained, James Brown, Tupac on Mark and Simon Soundtrack Show, Indie 101.5.
Jesus to come back. Expect me to come back.
Yeah.
Paul Revere and the Raiders, Good Thing from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hang on. You have to say it right. You have to say it like this. Once Upon a Time.
In Hollywood.
Exactly. You okay. Got to get the – there's some dots in there. Yeah, okay. You have to put them in there. That's the official name of the movie.
Okay, so that was Paul Revere and the ..
Okay,
Raiders.
Okay, Mr. West. Thank you very much. Or should I say Shatner. Mr. Shatner?
I was going for Shatner, yeah. Actually.
So so yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood also had Leonardo DiCaprio in it, right?
Yes.
So another of Tarantino's sort of crew that he likes to work with.
It was a fun movie. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
They changed history once again.
Yeah.
Sharon Tate got to live. That was pretty cool.
Or did they change history and the media has been lying to us all these years?
I would hope they've picked bigger things to lie about.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway. So that was 2019 that came out in. So that's, I think, his most recent movie. I don't think there's been anything since then.
No, and he keeps coming on and off again. He's trying to figure out what – he's always said he wanted to do 10 films and then disappear.
Oh, yeah?
And this was number 9.
Oh.
So the thing he's been on again, off again is whether or not he's going to do a Star Trek film. Paramount kind of wants him to do one and kind of doesn't because they don't think that a – profane, violent Star Trek film is something that anybody really wants to see. Now, I love profane, violent films of Quentin Tarantino, and as much as I love Star Trek, I would love to see what he wants to do.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not an extreme amount of violence, but in that Picard series, they're dropping the F-bombs fairly frequently. I thought maybe the F-bomb had been, you know, like abandoned by society. It's never been used in Star Trek before, so
it's on primetime TV. That's
yeah,
why.
Well, that's true. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. And the other thing is does Kill Bill count as one or two movies?
I'm not sure. I didn't count. So, I just know that this is supposed to be the last one. So, although they're talking about the Trek thing might actually be a series.
Oh, interesting.
But his original concept was he wanted to do a movie based on the original series episode, A Piece of the Action, the one that they were right. In the 20s mob
right.
Planet. So that's
that would be weird. That would be...
I can see that's the one he gloms onto.
Because that's his wheelhouse for sure, yeah. So we're getting close to the end here of the day. So we hit all of the movies he actually directed.
Yes.
I may have missed one. I'm not sure. But we're going to go – we kind of tried to go chronologically in movies he directed. We hit True Romance that he just wrote. I mean, he's obviously written – there's TV episodes he's directed. There's other things he's directed. There's things he's written. But he's also he's also acted in quite a bit. So
he also co-wrote this one.
Yeah. So From Dusk Till Dawn came out in 1996. It starred George Clooney and Harvey Keitel, and it was directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
And
whose work currently is on – he has directed a handful of episodes of Boba Fett and The Mandalorian.
Ah, right on. And anyway, so he wrote this one, and he was also one of the main characters in it.
He was a sick monkey, that is for sure.
Yep.
So, From Dusk Till Dawn, it's She's Just Killing Me by ZZ Top.
Which I'll just, give a RIP to Dusty there, who passed away in the last year. So that's a shame because sort of the end of ZZ Top, I guess, there.
No, they've continued onward.
Oh, really? Who's their bass player now?
I'm not sure who the bass player is.
Billy Gibbons is a great guitar player, so I'm glad they're still playing, but... Yeah, it just won't be the same.
Billy and Frank just know Dusty. They put a, I've seen pictures from their concerts lately. They put a microphone with a cowboy hat on top.
Yeah. The double beards and the double guitars, though, that'll be a thing of the past, unfortunately, it looks like. All right. So we're going to wrap things up with She's Just Killing Me by ZZ Top. Thanks again for listening.
And see you next time. Have a great week. Be well and be excellent to each other. Night, everybody.